Welcome to another Marvel podcast. My name is Drew Gretsch.
And I'm Yvonne Stina.
Yvonne's back with us. Yvonne is back. It's been a minute, dude. Yeah, so today we are talking about our Spotify Wrapped for the podcast, as well as our own, if we want to. I will be recounting the tale of how I got my tickets for Spider-Man No Way Home. And then we'll be reviewing Hawkeye Season 1, Episode 3, Echoes. What's up, Yvonne? Just a little personal talk before the show. What is up with you? What's going on with you this week? How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was good.
Yeah?
I mean, it was just good. We spent the day with family. Day after was my cousin's birthday, so I spend a lot of time with family.
Sounds very fun. Whole lot of family. Yeah, we, mm-hmm. Dude, we had 17 people at our house.
Oh.
It's 17 people. A lot of baby cousins. Which, you guys may have heard on last week's podcast when we were talking about, I think Hawkeye Episode 2, you probably heard some young children. So, you know, but no young children here this week. So, we're all good to talk about Hawkeye. So Yvonne, Spotify Wrapped came out today. Would you like to enlighten us with your, musical profile from this past year?
Sure. I have a screenshot here.
All right.
So number one, last year was the same. It was AC/DC is my number one.
Nice.
I'm in their top 0.5. listeners.
Oh, so my for my guy.
Then number two was Lil Nas X. You know, the new album was pretty good.
Yeah.
Then Bruno Mars.
All right.
All right. Then Doja Cat.
All right, that's solid.
Yeah. And then I listened to a lot of sea shanties this year. And then The Longest Johns.
The Longest Johns?
Yep.
Wow. What were your top five songs?
Well, number one was Industry Baby.
Okay.
Number two was... What's that Bruno Mars song? It's cut out at the end. What is it?
What's the first part?
The Moon. Oh, it was Runaway Baby, that one.
Okay.
Number three is The Wellerman.
Wait, which version? Which version?
The Longest John's version. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I personally prefer the Wellington version. Like the 5-minute version. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they're both good. Now we're just gonna talk about the Wellerman. Alright, what after that?
Woman by Doja Cat.
Okay.
And then Kickstart My Heart.
Wow. Okay, you want to know mine?
Interesting thing.
You want to know mine?
Sure.
So, my total minutes listened this year were 31,639, which, when we divide that by 60, let's just head over to the calculator here real quick. Let's head over, because I want to calculate how many hours I listen to Spotify. So, that's 31,639. 639 divided by 60, 527.31.
Wow.
How many days is that? Let's divide that by 24. 20. All right, 22 days straight I spent on Spotify this year.
22 days.
Well, it's like 21.97, but that's 22.
And what were your minutes again?
31,639.
Oh, mine's a lot higher.
Oh, no, what's yours? And you gotta calculate it also by, you gotta give us the minutes.
I don't have a calculator.
All right, I'll open the calculator again. Okay.
44,484. Yeah.
Okay, that is a lot. Let's divide that.
That's a lot.
You ready?
Yep.
Divide that by 60. 741.4 hours. Divide this by 24. Oh my God.
What is it?
1 full month. You spent 1/12 of your year, Yvonne, listening to music.
That makes a lot of sense.
What was your top genre?
A Mexican genre.
Nice. Mine was soundtrack. So let's get into my top fives, okay? Let's start off with artist. Mm-hmm. At number 5 is Ludvig Göransson. You know who that is? He is the composer of such films like Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
And such Emmy award-winning series as The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
He's returning for the Book of Boba Fett this month. This month, Yvonne. Nice. This month is Boba Fett. I'm so excited. My number 4 is Junkie XL, because I spent a lot of time listening to the soundtrack of Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Because
it's a great score. At number 3, returning from last year but moved down a little bit, is the great John Williams.
Okay.
Number 2 is Eminem. And my number 1 is Juice WRLD.
All of those all of those make sense.
Yeah. So getting into the top 5, at number 5 I have Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult.
Mm-hmm.
Yvonne, remember how like 10 months ago when I was obsessed with a show called Firefly?
Yeah.
I
have not mentioned it since.
I know. Now, Firefly is a great show. If you guys have not seen Firefly, go watch it. It's on Hulu. It's fantastic. It's just one season because Fox is dumb and canceled it. No, but seriously, guys, Firefly is probably one of the greatest single-season TV series of all time. I'm not kidding when I say that. It's one of the greatest single-season series of all time. But the Firefly main title is my number 4. Despite the fact that I have not listened to that song since April, I think, or maybe it was March.
Wow.
But, like, the song is, like, a minute long.
Mm.
So I just, like, looped it a whole lot. My number 3, this one actually is not that surprising, is the Foundation theme from Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
My number 2 is Armed and Dangerous by Juice WRLD.
Okay.
My number 1, with 208 streams from me this year, is Eminem's Venom. Because my number 1 of the year is Venom.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Venom, you listen to Venom a lot before Venom came out.
Yeah. But guys, in addition to that, because, you know, our hosting site, Anchor, is owned by Spotify, we got our Spotify numbers this year.
Mm.
I knew that they would be high. I was not anticipating just how high these numbers were going to be. And this is just... Now, I'm not going to give you guys actual numbers. I'm going to give you guys the percentages because I'm going to keep that confidential. But it's a lot. The listenership this year has been a lot. Now, this is all from Spotify. All of these statistics I'm about to give are from Spotify. Spotify listeners account for 6% of the total listenership from this podcast. 6%, the numbers I'm about to give to you guys. You ready?
Yep.
So we released 2,467 minutes of content this year across 61 episodes of the show.
Oh.
Yvonne, do you want to know what our growth was this year?
What was our growth?
Hours streamed were up over 1,000%. Total streams were up over 1,000%. Listeners were up over 1,000%. And the number of followers and the people who clicked the follow button on Spotify were up 500%. Now, you know, last year, I think our biggest episode was the Disney Investor Day. And that was after these numbers had come out. So that's accounting for this year. Last year, all we covered was Hellstrom. So already, that's not a whole lot, but still, like, and I think that what's coming up next year will give a better example of how much we've grown, but still, these are really great numbers, guys. I'm really happy to hear this. So yeah, just because, like, you know, you do this every week, and you just, you don't know how many people are listening. And then stuff like this comes out, and it really shows you how many people are listening. And it's really great to see. So thank you guys so much for sticking with us this past year through WandaVision, through the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and MODOK and Loki and Black Widow, and What If, Shang-Chi and Legend 10 Rings, and then Eternals, and now we're in the middle of Hawkeye, and we got No Way Home, guys. We got No Way Home. And next year's going to be great. Next year's going to be freaking awesome.
It's been a journey.
It's been a huge journey, man. It's been a huge journey, and I'm so incredibly proud of what we've been able to do this year. Mm-hmm. Should I recount the tale of Sunday Night Yvonne?
I think you should.
I think that they deserve to hear the story of how we got our Spider-Man No Way Home tickets.
Yeah, they do.
So I'm going to start this off, guys, by reminding you that we are having a fan screening at the AMC Oakbrook Center 12 in Oakbrook, Illinois on December 16th, 2021 at the 7:30 IMAX show. But it's going to be a little weird at that screening if you guys are going, because, I mean, for starters, we're not going to be there. Because when we made that announcement, it never occurred to us that maybe we couldn't get tickets.
I mean,
guys, I was there. I was on the AMC site at, oh, well, actually, first, I was seeing on Twitter that people were, like, going to the theater, and they were able to get their tickets early.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried that. We tried that. So that's an hour we spent driving to and coming back from that theater. And, you know, no luck. They said, yeah, you guys just got to be online at midnight to get the tickets. All right. So that didn't work out. And then we had, and then so basically next couple hours, I do a podcast with Michael Badrov, who you guys remember from our Shang-Chi instant take a couple months ago, on Tuscan Radio. Tuscan Radio for Star Wars fans, guys. New episode is streaming every Friday. We did a really great discussion about The Last Jedi. It's streaming up there right now, so you guys can go find that. And basically, so we do that. Michael goes home. That has nothing to do with the podcast. It's just a quick plug for Tuscan Radio. And basically, I'm on the site about 20 minutes early, because they're supposed to go on sale at 11:01 p.m. Central Time on Sunday night. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They go on sale something like 10:45.
Oh, wow, okay.
So the tickets launch early. Tickets launch early. Mm-hmm. I refresh, click the tickets. I'm immediately so for the showtime that we wanted at Oak Brook, 7:30 IMAX on Thursday night. I'm immediately put into a 6-minute long wait. Immediately. Because Yvonne, after about, I don't know, 5-6 seconds of these tickets going on sale, AMC had crashed.
Oh, okay.
They crashed. And so did Fandango. And so did Regal Cinemas. And so did Adam Tickets. All three of them.
Everything.
All four major online ticket platforms crashed within seconds.
It's a big movie.
I spent the next, 2 hours waiting through lines at AMC. I had my phone open. I had my computer open. On my phone, I'm trying other showtimes and stuff, which we did get. So we're going the same night. It's same time, same night. It's just in a different theater, and it's not IMAX. I'm going IMAX sometime else that weekend. Mm-hmm. And basically, one time. And Yvonne, I told you this. I am put in a 45-minute long wait. I'm put in a 45-minute long wait. This is 12:30 in the morning. So it's already been an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. I keep waiting. Yeah. It gets down to 4 or 5 minutes. It glitches into the Spider-Verse. And it jumps back up to over an hour.
Oh.
And at that point, I'm all right, it's crashed. It's not happening tonight. I need to sleep. I got some tests tomorrow. So I log off. I cry myself to sleep over the fact that I have to wait until Friday or even Saturday, maybe, to see this movie. Mm-hmm. I wake up and that's, about, 3 hours? 3 hours or so, because they don't, because it's longer than 45 minutes. It's here's just a rough estimate. That estimate's always off. It's always off. Mm-hmm. So I go to sleep and I cry myself to sleep. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. I almost did though. I wake up about 6:30 in the morning. Now, usually the first thing I do when I wake up is I'll check Snapchat, Instagram, Reddit, just see if there's any new Marvel news or Star Wars news or just regular news, because I'm also a regular person, kind of. What I did first thing on Monday morning was I opened up AMC. To see if their servers were back online. And in the suburbs of Chicago, they were. They were online. And I was able to get 7:30 p.m. digital showing at my regular theater. Not the Oak Brook one that's all nice and everything, but my regular AMC. Mm-hmm. And I scored 9 tickets for opening night. And we're all sitting together. It's crazy.
By some miracle.
By some unprecedented, Stan Lee smiled upon me that, no, Uatu the Watcher smiled kindly upon me on Monday morning. And blessed us with 9 No Way Home tickets. So for those of us out there who got our Thursday night tickets, or like early Friday tickets, we won. My friends, we won. Yvonne, you won, because you are one of the nine.
Yeah.
But I've heard from, like, listeners of the show in New York, in, like, central New York City, and in the middle of Los Angeles, that they could not get tickets for before Sunday night. One person said Monday night. So it's going to be a struggle, guys, but I know that you can do it. Please do not pirate this movie. Go see it in the theater. If this movie's good, because we still don't know if it's good, but if this movie's good, this is going to be one of the best fan experiences ever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say as much as Endgame.
And it probably will be.
Because I think that everything we've heard about this movie only scratches the surface. It just mm-hmm. scratches the surface of everything that is in here.
Okay.
So Friday is when the press screenings start. On Friday, I'm deleting my Twitter until makes December. Sense.
It's a precaution.
Until, you know, what, like 11 p.m. on. No, it's not 3 hours long. It's 2 and a half. So, like, until like 10:30 p.m. on Thursday, December 16th.
It's essential.
Because Eternals, and spoilers for Eternals, so if you've not seen Eternals yet, skip forward like 30 seconds. But coming out of Eternals, like, the press spoiled Harry Styles as Star Fox. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not doing that again. Not with this movie. Not with this movie. Like, the guy spoiled Eternals. Well, not, and I don't even consider post-credit scenes to be spoilers, per se. Mm-hmm. But that would have been a great moment. Would have been a great moment.
Yeah.
And you know what? It would have. I think that if they kept that a secret, if they kept. Mm-hmm. And we're past the 30 seconds now, so I'm not going to say what it is. But if they kept that thing a secret, then I really believe that the second weekend box office, because first weekend would have been a lot smaller, because a lot of people went to go see Eternals because of that thing that was leaked. I really think that if, like, Then the first weekend's box office would be smaller. I think second weekend could match first weekend for Eternals if that had been the case. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because a lot of people went to go see Eternals for that one specific actor.
Yeah, but it did bring attention to the movie.
It did. So, yeah, No Way Home has already, in the first 2 minutes, or not, in its first 2 hours of tickets going on sale, passed Black Widow.
That's impressive.
2 hours. No, Yvonne, in 2 hours, Spider-Man No Way Home sold more tickets than Black Widow did from, like, June 15th to July 8th. No Way Home did that in 2 hours.
Incredibly impressive.
Do you want to know? Do you want to know the pre-sale numbers this year for Marvel?
Sure.
Now, what's funny is that the box office. So the top four movies to have sold for ticket pre-sales this year.
Yeah.
Have been number four, Black Widow. Do you want to know what number three was?
Sure.
Number three was Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings.
Oh.
Do you want to take a wild guess at number two?
I don't remember that many movies that came out.
Number two was Eternals. Number one is Spider-Man Far From Home. So this year, all four MCU movies have passed. All four MCU movies this year were the top four ticket pre-sales for the first 24 hours.
Wow.
And they all increased. So let's just see. So let's take a look here what Black Widow did in the first 24 hours. You ready? See if I can find this just quickly and easily. You know what? Well, whatever. I'll look it up. I should have this on first. Ticket pre-sales 2021 movies. All right, here we go. So looking at Deadline. Look at Deadline right now.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have... But anyway, the point is that Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals all made about 2 or 3 million in their first 24 hours of being on sale.
Okay.
Okay, so that's all just 2 or 3. I think Eternals got near 4, where it could be rounded up to 4 million in the first 24 hours of being on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know what No Way Home did in the first 24 hours?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you want to take a guess?
I forgot the previous number, so I...
$35 million. $35 million.
Oh my god, that is incredibly impressive. Well, I mean, it made the site crash, so.
The first day pre-sales are higher than the pre-sales for the following movies. Pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers Infinity War. Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oof.
Star Wars The Last Jedi. Rogue One A Star Wars Story, which is my personal favorite Star Wars movie. And
mm-hmm.
Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh.
And so industry expert Rick Roman says about the No Way Home pre-sale numbers, I have not seen anything like this since Star Wars The Force Awakens. Once the tickets went on sale, they went through the roof. I added more screens. Thank you, Sony. Fandango managing editor Eric Davis says, Spider-Man No Way Home promises to wrap a bow around 20 years of live-action Spider-Man movies, and anticipation is through the roof with fans anxious to see how Tom Holland's Homecoming trilogy concludes. The most anticipated film of the season promises to deliver surprises on every level, and December 17th can't come soon enough. I actually have to correct him there, Yvonne. Because he says December 17th.
Mm-hmm.
For you and me, that's December 16th.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know that sounds bad, guys. I know it sounds bad. So I'm sorry about that, to say that like that. But, you know. Yvonne.
Yeah?
I'm anticipating $1 billion for this movie.
Yeah, like, the website's crashed.
Alright. If it's good, it will make $1 billion. Mm-hmm. I think there is a very strong possibility of this movie beating The Rise of Skywalker, which was the last $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
If this movie's good, it can do that. Because the movie might suck. We have to remember that, guys. This movie might suck. Do I think it's going to suck? No. But we have to be prepared for the possibility that No Way Home is a really bad movie.
Yeah, you just got to keep that in your head.
Got to keep it in your head for the next, like, 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks. 2.5 weeks, Yvonne. We got 2.5 weeks.
Oh, my God. 2.5 weeks.
15 days until we go see it. In 15 days, we'll be there right now. 15 days from right now, we'll be in the theater, and the movie will be almost over. I spent more time trying to buy tickets than I'm going to spend watching the movie on December 16th.
I still find that comical.
It is. It is. But these are the stories. These are the stories I'm going to tell my kids about. About how it took me, like, 3-4 hours to get my tickets for Spider-Man No Way Home. So, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. So, let's go into our only piece of news for this week. Deadline is reporting that... So, we already knew about a couple of cast members for Secret Invasion. We knew about, obviously, Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, we think. He's playing Nick Fury. He could be a Skrull.
Yeah.
We know that Ben Mendelsohn is returning as Talos from such films as Captain Marvel and Spider-Man Far From Home in that post-credit scene. We also know that Olivia Colman, Amelia Clark, Kingsley Ben-Adir, Christopher McDonald, and Killian Scott will also be in the series, Vaughn. But adding to that list is Kobe Smulders returning as Maria Hill. We think Maria Hill. We think it's Maria Hill. Do you think that she's going to be... Hill in the series of on
the S.H.I.E.L.D. operative, right?
Well, she was always like Fury's right hand.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I still don't know.
Well, no. I mean, well, really well what I'm saying is, like, is she gonna be a Skrull or not?
Like, if Secret,
like, if everyone's gonna be a Skrull,
go that route, of course.
Yeah, so really there's no news about that. Like, we just know, like, she's in the show. Mm. Well, actually, oh, there is another piece of news.
There is.
Amy Pascal was talking this week.
Okay.
And she said the following. Here, guys, let me just pull this up here real quick, because I want to read what she said. Word for word, because the wording of what she said is very important. It is very important here with what happens. Let's find it. All right, let's go to Fandango, because that's who it was with. All right, let's see. All right, Amy Pascal. That's so helpful that there are no search results found. Amy Pascal, Fandango, interview. There we go. Let's look that up. All right, well, here we go. This is from Deadline. This is what she said. Okay. This is not the last movie we are going to make with Marvel. This is not the last Spider-Man movie. We are getting ready to make 3 more Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland and Marvel. It just won't be a part of ... And then she trails off and doesn't say anything else. And then she sort of does a 180 and says, "We're thinking of this as 3 films, and now we're going on to the next 3. This is not the last of our MCU movies. Yes, Marvel and Sony are going to keep going together as partners."
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. That last part that I said, it just isn't a part of ... You want to know who didn't put that in there? Was Deadline. But it's what she said.
Oh, she said it.
She said, I'm going to read this again. I'm going to read this again. This is not the last movie that we are going to make with Marvel. This is not the last Spider-Man movie. We are getting ready to make the next Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland and Marvel. It just isn't a part of ... We're thinking of this as 3 films, and now we're going on to the next 3. This is not the last of our MCU movies. No one is talking about the part where she says it just isn't part of, and then she stops herself.
Okay.
They're cutting that out. She never says. Now, do you want to know what I think that she was going to say before she caught herself?
What?
We are getting ready to make the next Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland and Marvel. It just isn't part of the MCU. I don't think that the next trilogy's in the MCU.
Probably not, because like they can really move around the multiverse now.
I think the next one's in the MCU. Mm-hmm. I think Homecoming 4 is in the MCU, right? Well, it won't be Homecoming 4, but because she says the next Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland and Marvel. So at least the next one is in the MCU. The next one is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
But are 5 and 6 going to be?
Fair point.
Like, realistically, could we see Spider-Man 4 end on a huge cliffhanger? Spider-Man 5 is in the same universe as Venom and Morbius and Kraven.
Mm-hmm.
So it completely ignores Spider-Man 4. And then Spider-Man 6 is a direct sequel to 4.
Okay.
And so it's like 4 is in the MCU, 5 is in the Venomverse, and then 6 is in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I don't really like that.
I feel like they should stay consistent with the universes.
Until yeah.
The character is finished being written.
Yeah. I don't know what. I'm not even gonna start to speculate on this until after we've seen No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think after No Way Home, that's when we can really, like, sort of pinpoint the stuff here.
Yeah.
But do you want to know what's interesting?
What?
Is that the Hollywood Reporter, which is a very reliable source. Very reliable source. Has said that their sources say that, so the Hollywood Reporter sources say they have no idea what Amy Pascal is talking about here.
Oh.
They have no idea what she's talking about. So Sony insiders say that the studio hopes to continue its strong relationship and collaboration with Holland and Feige, but there are currently no official plans for the next Spider-Man trilogy, which is according to the Hollywood Reporter right here. So, I have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possible that they've talked. Oh, they've definitely talked. They've definitely talked.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they've talked. Like, do you think, like, No Way Home could just end on, like, a huge, like, cliffhanger, and Sony and Marvel haven't talked about, like, the next movie yet?
Maybe.
No, they've talked. So, I don't know what to really say here. Other than, again, we'll know much more in 15 days when we see this movie. But Yvonne, that's it for news.
Yeah.
Which means you know what it's time for?
What? It's time to review the episode.
It's time to talk about Hawkeye. So guys, we're now going to go into full spoilers for Hawkeye Season 1, Episode 3, Echoes. After narrowly escaping the tracksuits and their daunting leader, Maya Lopez, Clint and Kate work together to find answers. With each step they take, however, they find themselves sliding deeper into a rapidly growing criminal conspiracy. So, you guys know, I didn't like the first episode of the series. I didn't like it. I thought the second episode was fine. I thought it was fine. And I really liked this week. I really liked this week's episode. I wasn't too high on it this morning. But guys, I have a trend when it comes to episodes of Disney Plus shows and MCU movies.
Mm-hmm.
Post-Endgame. Where I don't really like it the first time, and once I watch it a second, third, fourth time, it's like, oh my god, this is really good. It happened with Far From Home. It happened a lot with WandaVision, a lot with Falcon and Winter Soldier. A little bit with Loki. Loki was actually really consistent as being like, this is great, this is great, this is great, this is great. Black Widow, you guys know I was like, it's all right, and I think that Black Widow's a really great movie. Shang-Chi, loved it both times in theaters, and then I continue to adore that movie on Disney Plus. Eternals was the opposite, where I loved the first time and really was not a big fan the second time. And Hawkeye now. But Yvonne, what did you think of this episode? And we'll get into specifics.
Hawkeye for me has been, I thought it was like good all around for me, because I enjoy Hawkeye.
Yeah, he's a good character. He's a good character. My big complaint last week was, you guys know, we're two episodes in, we were 33% of the way done, and we had no idea what the show was about yet. That's still a bit of a complaint that I have after this week. Because now we're 50% of the way done. And I feel like we just learned what the show is about.
Okay.
But better late than ever. Let's get into some spoiler talk. Do you want to get into some spoiler talk?
Yeah.
I want to get into some spoiler talk, Yvonne. So if you've not seen Hawkeye Episode 3, and of course, if you've not seen the first two, go watch those. The first half of Hawkeye is now streaming on Disney+. The first half of it, the first three episodes of six, we're halfway done. Is that crazy? We're halfway done.
Yeah.
The show just started last week, and it's halfway over.
Yeah, pretty insane.
We have 3 weeks left. So yeah, spoilers. Yvonne, you know the big one.
Mm-hmm.
The big one. Do you get it? It's wordplay. Yeah. Well, actually, that works with two things, but I'm talking about the earlier one. So, spoilers in 3, 2, 1.
Kingpin is now probably in the MCU.
No. Kingpin is in the MCU. Kingpin is in the MCU.
Yeah, it's at this point, it's a definite. It's like you see his hand.
Oh my god. The second character from Marvel Television. Because, you know, we saw Jarvis in Endgame. Little cameo there, but we're like, oh my god!
Mm-hmm.
This is the second character, but this is the first prominent character.
Yeah.
And this, because Agent Carter was still, like, creatively produced by Marvel Studios. It was produced by Kevin Feige. It was written by Christopher Markus and Stephen McFeely, the screenwriters of, you know, the first Avenger, the Dark World, The Winter Soldier, Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame. So they created the show.
Yeah.
But Wilson Fisk was not created by Marvel Studios. Or at least the quote-unquote MCU Wilson Fisk was not created by Marvel Studios. Do you know what I really love about Disney Plus, Yvonne? What I really love about what these shows are doing. Is they're finally fulfilling that promise that we got back in 2013 of a truly interconnected MCU narrative told across film and television. And we thought for 7 years from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Agent Carter to the Netflix series to Stinky Inhumans to less stinky Runaways and Cloak and Dagger and then Hellstrom, that we were watching a fully integrated, well, some more than others. Like, I think, like, around the time of, like, Cloak and Dagger, we pretty much figured out that these shows weren't connected.
Yeah.
But still, we were promised a truly interconnected MCU that had more than a one-sided relationship.
Yeah.
Now you guys know, I think that when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got to branch off and do its own thing, that's when that show got really, really good.
Yeah. Like, it embraced itself.
Like, I've been reading the story of Marvel Studios, which is a great book. Outstanding book. It details the entire creation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe across like 13 years, across the first 23 films, so the Infinity Saga. And basically, the entire premise of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was created around that plot twist in The Winter Soldier about S.H.I.E.L.D. being Hydra.
Yeah.
So I love that. But anyway, Kingpin's the first character not created by Kevin Feige to appear in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say this first, guys. And I love Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. And I think it's definitely Kingpin. I think it's definitely Kingpin, and I think it's definitely Vincent D'Onofrio. Do you want to know why I know it's Vincent D'Onofrio?
Why?
Because if it wasn't, they would have announced it. They would have announced it so that we had preparation.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they wouldn't keep it a surprise and then make it a new actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you that know? Just wouldn't make sense.
Like, I'll be pissed for, like, a day. But then I'll get over it, because then again, they never told us that he was in the show. D'Onofrio has denied the fact that he's in the show. Not as vigorously as Andrew Garfield has denied that he's in Spider-Man No Way Home, but he still denied that he's in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, what I'm trying to get at is, remember Ralph Boner. Remember Ralph Boner. We all thought that it was Peter Maximoff from the Foxman movies. And it was Ralph Boner.
Remember your past mistakes.
Remember our past mistakes. We said so many times on the podcast. So many times.
It's Mephisto. No. Simply just no.
Wilson Fisk is Mephisto confirmed. No,
I don't know. It could be a possibility.
No, Yvonne, so I try and spend a couple hours a day away from my phone and electronics and everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just got bored and I started just, like, staring at my hand and just, like, looking at my handprint and stuff. And what I noticed is that you can see the slight shape of an M on my palm. And I just thought, Mephisto? No, I'm just kidding. But there is actually the slight shape of an M on my hand, which I think is pretty funny. Anyway, there are a lot of reasons why that is Wilson Fisk.
Yeah, like we saw the black suit.
Black suit, that is... That's what he wore in, like, season one of Daredevil.
Do we know where Daredevil, like, kind of lands on the timeline?
So, yes. Yes, we actually do, because of stuff that happens in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, season one, I believe, is, like, winter time, like, January, February of 2015. So...
Okay.
It's after the fall of S.H.I.E.L.D., but before the Battle of Sokovia in Age of Ultron. So, season one is before Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Season two is actually one of the things that's, like, in the build-up to Civil War.
Okay.
Because if you remember, on the TV side, they were telling stories to make the Sokovia Accords make more sense. Like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had the whole... Inhumans plot line.
Yeah.
And because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of told in real time, they actually reference some stuff that happens in season two of Daredevil, which had a gang war, and the Punisher, which is like, alright, well, there's these vigilantes in New York also, so, like, we need something. Let's do the Sokovia Accords. So, there's that. So season two is, like, about, it's a little bit over a year later, I think. I think it's still, I'd put it, like, March of 2016.
Okay.
Now, season three is weird. Because we know dates for the snap.
Mm-hmm.
If we are assuming that the show is canon, and I don't think it is, I think we are going to have the same actors come back. And I think... that they may reference that Matt has some history with Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
But don't expect... like, don't expect Rosario Dawson to show up as Claire Temple. as much as I love that, but she's doing Star Wars now.
Mm-hmm.
But she did tell us exclusively a long time ago that she would return.
Ooh.
Do you remember that, Yvonne? Like, she told us that she'd return.
I do not remember.
All right, so I tweeted out back in, like, January, I think.
Mm-hmm.
At Rosario Dawson's, I don't know, I think it was something along the lines of, I know, like, you're about to do Star Wars, but would you ever come back as Claire Temple? And then she quote tweeted saying, like, I mean, you gotta love a reunion. So, like, she'd come back.
Okay.
That'd be great if she came back, but I don't think that she would. Well, she would for, like, a couple days, but, like, dude, I just want to see the Ahsoka series. This show's gonna be so good. I'm so excited for that show. But so season three, Daredevil. Again, if we're assuming that the show is fully canon.
Yeah.
It would be October 2017 or 2018. But it has to be 2018 because there are midterm elections.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. If it's October 2018, that puts it about 5 or 6 months after the Battle of Wakanda. And guess what?
So that's where the snap would be taking place?
Nobody. Well, it'd be after the snap, and nobody gets dusted. Now, we have to deal with 8 years later in Homecoming.
Yeah.
We can just ignore the whole midterm thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can just ignore that. I'd actually put it, you know, around probably the same time as, like, Thor Ragnarok. I don't know. So, like, fall 2017. Point is, it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In universe, because we're in, like, December 2024 now. It's been a long time.
Okay.
You know, I think that the snap really, like, let Kingpin go wild. And we get to see, like, we're going to get to see him, like, build up the tracksuit mafia and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see him do all that.
I haven't watched Daredevil. Do you know, like, the main force that he uses? Like, the main, like, what, like, the tracksuit mafia foot soldiers? Does he use, like, the same thing in Daredevil?
Well, in season one, he actually works very closely with the Russian mafia.
Oh, okay.
You know? So maybe all the smart guys died in the blip. And you know that that scene in Clone Wars where, like, the battle droid gets, like, take over, like, the Separatist battleship? And it's like, well, I guess I'm in charge. It's probably something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, Wilson Fisk, dude. Dude.
I mean, he's definitely in here. Like, there's no way.
I hope he shows up in episode 5 on December 15th. How cool would it be if we see his face in episode 5?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, we see Matt Murdock in No Way Home.
Oh.
How awesome would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
Dude, that'd be so cool. That'd be so cool. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the actual episode because we are now an hour into the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that now.
I love Imagine Dragons. Dude,
I like how they're giving the tracks of Mafia their own, like, cartoony feeling.
Yeah, you guys know, I was thinking that, like, these guys were really stupid. They didn't do anything insultingly stupid in this episode.
They were being themselves.
I'm just appreciating how goofy and silly they are. You guys know, I do very funny Russian voice.
I accidentally do voice outside the phone call one time.
I want to hear this story, Ivan. Tell me this story.
No, I just got the weird look, and then I had to explain that you would
speak what, to me. What's the context? Both of our phone calls. Who is this with?
One of my cousins.
How old is said cousin?
12.
Oh, okay, so intelligent enough to intelligent enough to understand that, you know, this is Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we should just do whole podcast in Russian, bro.
I think I might have brain meltdown if we do.
Okay, bro. We stop now. All right. I'm just going because we are running pretty long. I'm just going to go through the big stuff. The putty arrow was great.
And I saw the PIM logo.
Dude, I saw that. And I'm like, this might be one of my favorite Easter eggs in all of Marvel.
Yeah. I saw the logo on there because I recognized it from Ant-Man in the play.
Oh my god, that's great. That's great.
Ant-Man didn't have a logo that like looked like it had the PIM company logo on it.
Yeah, well, you know, it just reminded me a lot of in Civil War when you got Clint about to fire the arrow and then there's Scott hanging on. He's like, oh, no, I'm good. Arrow guy, let's go. Like, I love that a lot. Love that a whole lot. Pym Arrow was awesome. I love their chemistry between that we see between Jeremy Renner and Haley Steinfeld. I think it's amazing. I think it's really, really, really great. They're so much fun together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've really come around on this show. I really like this show.
It's become its own thing now. It's like how Loki is very different from WandaVision. This is very different from anything else. It's closer to like Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it is. And I'd compare this show from a thematic standpoint to the Marvel Netflix series. It's much more street level. I mean, except for the giant arrow.
Yeah.
But you know, you can have one scene
like that. The size of a street.
You can have one scene like that. You can have one or two scenes like that. But like, you know, I really love how street level the show is. Because like, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was pretty grounded, but it was still, you know, heavy on, like, the science fiction elements.
Yeah.
So, that is something that I appreciate this show has. I want my Marvel to be either way out there and crazy, like WandaVision and Loki, or be very street level and grounded, like Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Both Loki and Hawkeye honestly just feel like Marvel is doing what I want and Marvel should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because Loki's so weird with all the science fiction concepts. And, like, WandaVision was just weird. And I loved it. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But Loki had a really great sci-fi concepts to it.
Yeah, the way you're feeling about, like, the first two episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier, that's how I felt about WandaVision. I'm sure a lot of other people felt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Way. Absolutely. That's how I felt. Like, the first two episodes of WandaVision, They were good. They were good.
They were good in their own right of what they were trying to be.
Yeah, just not really... I don't want to say not interesting. It's just like... Well, I'm glad that they put out the first two on the same day. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they put out the first two on the same day. Same way with Hawkeye. Like, dude, if we had to wait... Like, if we got episode one, and then we had to wait a full week for episode two... Dude. That would have been a struggle for me.
Okay.
That would have been a struggle for me. But yeah. So, can we talk about Maya Lopez for a couple of minutes? Let's talk about her for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I love this character already. She's so compelling.
She has a compelling backstory. She has the whole thing.
I love how these Disney Plus shows, in three of the four, they've had a character who's either brand new or we have not seen for several years of their lives.
Yeah.
We're introduced to them, or reintroduced in one case. In the next episode, we'll either get a full episode-long backstory,
mm-hmm.
or get a scene or two at the beginning, and that's it.
Yeah.
We had a full episode for Harmonica, and that episode in WandaVision was fantastic. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We had that one scene of Sylvie in Loki episode 4. Remember? Where, like, we were introduced to her.
Yeah.
Then here we got to see young Echo. Dude, so she is the first Native American superhero. She's the first one.
That didn't, like, it just felt natural.
Exactly. She's the first one to have a natural prosthetic limb.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told that to my little brother, and he goes, well, what about Hawkeye? Or not Hawkeye. What about Bucky? And I'm like, well, you can't really relate to, like, falling off a cliff, though.
True.
You know, like, the prosthetic arm, yeah, it's cool to see that. It's great to see that. I think the Bucky's awesome. But, like, this is much more relatable for people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also the second deaf Marvel hero. I'm not sure about DC and what they've done in the Arrowverse. But she's the second deaf superhero in the MCU. And the first one was just a couple of weeks ago in Eternals.
Yeah.
With Makari.
She did an amazing job.
Dude, Makari and Druig saved that movie. They saved that movie. They were so much fun.
And Makari put other speedsters to
shame. Dude, Makari was awesome. Makari was awesome in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So she's great. I really like that we can just see through her schoolwork how she's already more gifted than the other students, despite being deaf.
Yeah, and she could read lips too.
Well, in the subtitles, it was like, Maya .. an interpreter. So, like, we only saw what she was able to comprehend. We didn't see the other things. I loved that touch.
Yeah.
I loved that touch.
It gave it more of a stronger connection.
It did. It really, really did. So when her father died, dude, when her father died, my God, that was great. That was so
it was emotional,
compelling. Because now there's a reason. Now we have a motivation for our villain. And that's great. That's awesome. This show's already developed a great villain in just, like, a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
Two scenes. Got a great villain.
Mm-hmm.
Her father put his hand on her face, and the blood's there, right?
Yeah.
I want you to look up Yvonne right now. Marvel Echo Comics. Do Echo Marvel Comics. And I want to hear your reaction to this. I'll wait.
All right.
Clackety, 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 clack.
It's a membrane keyword I'm using. Is anyone there, man? I just type loud. All right, I'm going to images. I typed in Echo Marvel Comics. Oh.
Yeah, that's like...
Oh!
That's what she looks like in the comics, dude. So the blood on her face is actually a lot... It's homage to the comics.
Yeah, and this design is great.
Now, I don't know, guys. I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about this character from the comics except for the fact that she's deaf. She's the daughter of Kingpin. So she's the daughter of Kingpin, so there we go. And the hand on her face. How great would it be if, like, she, like, keeps that handprint there to remember her father?
Oh. Yeah, that's nice.
That'd be so cool.
Like, it gives it more of an emotional tug.
Dude, I love that. I love that, dude. Well, she's getting her own series, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She's getting a series.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot more of her.
A whole lot. Like, at least, you know, 6 more hours of her. So, let us... continue now. Moving on to next part. So I love that character so much. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Little Easter egg, when she asks her father about dragons, he says they live in a different world.
Oh yeah. Oh, when you pointed that out, I made the connection.
Yeah, dude. I know what is that connection at 6 a.m. this morning when I watched this episode.
You are too attentive when you just wake up.
I'm way too attentive. Well, the volume was also off. I don't know why. No, it was just, like, too low. And then I was... because the remote, it doesn't work in our basement for the, for the volume, for, like, the projector and the surround sound and stuff. So, like, and I'm just, like, I'm there and I'm lying there and it's, like, I don't feel like getting...
Okay.
So, yeah. This is the first time we see Clint use a bow in the series.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. I think it was... Look. This is not a Clint Barton show.
Yeah, no. It's more of a past... It's Kate Bishop or Echo.
I wouldn't even say it's a pass the torch. Because to have passed the torch... the main character of episode 1 would need to be Clint Barton.
Yeah.
And then slowly transitions that by episode 6, the main character is Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Clint is in 5 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is not a Clint Barton series. And I love that he got to use the bow, finally. In episode 3. I mean, it was totally worth it. Totally worth it. Of course they have a trampoline in there.
Trampoline? What are you talking about?
Well, so in the warehouse, the TSM had a... So in the TSM warehouse, the Tracksuit Mafia, they...
Yeah.
Had a trampoline by the office. Remember when Clint jumped through that window?
Oh, that was...
Of course they have a trampoline. I just imagine, like, bouncy, bouncy.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine that. It just seems like a fun work environment.
It does. It does. They just have so much fun.
Yeah, and they
I love Imagine Dragons. Criminal lives. I love Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, and they...
It's so fun. These guys are cartoon characters. I mean, in the best way possible. They're so much fun. But...
Yeah.
I do think it's a little bit insulting to the intelligence of Clint and Kate that they haven't taken these guys out in the first, like, 2 minutes. They're so stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all good. Because they're so much fun to watch. These guys are so much fun to watch. Dude... The comedy that they have with Clint being hard of hearing.
Yeah, that...
No, he should probably walk the dog.
Yeah, like, they both have the same thoughts, and it's so wholesome.
And, dude, that scene where she's, like, translating for him for Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That was a great scene. That was a really great scene.
It just warmed my heart. It was so beautiful.
It did. It did. It was so... Oh, my God. Yeah, I really... Look. If the next 3 episodes are as good or better than this one... I don't know. I'm gonna rewatch all 4 series this over winter break.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude, we've also got to start our rewatch for Mandalorian.
Oh yeah, that's
not true. For the podcast, but on our own, we are gonna rewatch the both seasons of Mando before Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna rewatch WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki. No, not What If. Not What If. I'll rewatch What If before season 2.
I feel like that's more of an optional thing.
It is. What If is just something I'll put on in the background if, like, I want some light Marvel. You know?
Yeah, I mean, even then, I would just, like, put on, like, the sound, like, music from a movie. From a Marvel movie.
Yeah, What If was fine. It wasn't great.
The parts that shine bright.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think there were, like, 3 episodes of What If that I really loved. Those 3 episodes were, zombies. You guys know I love the zombie episode. I loved the Ultron episode. And I loved T'Challa Star-Lord. Those were the 3 that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of, well, all right, and then a close 4th one is Doctor Strange.
I mean, I agree with you on most of those, not, except for the zombies
one. I know you really did not like zombies. You did.
I just felt it was boring. That's it.
But you're gonna watch the zombies series, right?
I am. I'm gonna watch the zombie series. I want to know where the story goes.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you know, I'll watch it because it's connected.
I mean, that's what you do most of the time.
That is what I do most times. Well, I'll say this. I'm going to watch episode 4 because I'm invested now. Because
mm-hmm.
I said I was only going to watch episode 3 because it's a part of the MCU and we have this podcast.
Yeah.
But I'm invested now for episode 4.
Yeah, because it's interesting.
It's interesting now. And we got Fisk. We got Fisk.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's someone above Maya, someone you don't want to mess with. There's someone you don't want to mess with. Okay?
Okay.
That's Fisk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Clint mentioned Sloan Limited. Yvonne, yeah. Want to know what Sloan Limited is?
What's Sloan Limited?
So, Sloan Limited... In the comics, could be referring, so this is coming to us from HITC.com. And what they say is, Sloan Limited could be referencing Walker Sloan, the CEO of the research company Alchemax. First introduced in the 2018 animated film Spider-Man in Spider-Verse, which I watched again last night, by the way, or two nights ago. Dude, I was crying the entire time. That is the perfect comic book movie. I see no flaw in that movie.
It is absolutely
And I've beautiful. Looked. It is a perfect movie. Perfect movie. Mm-hmm. You guys, if you've not seen Spider-Verse yet, watch it. It's not a cartoon. It's kind of a cartoon. But, like, it's such a beautiful story. And it introduces the Spider-Verse in a great way that we could be seeing in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you guys can hear the dogs downstairs. But anyway, first introduced in the 2018 animated film Spider-Man in Spider-Verse, we learned that Alchemax is owned by Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. Kingpin.
Very nice.
So the seeds are being planted. Mm-hmm. The seeds are being planted for Kingpin all over. We may have seen him, dude. We may have seen him.
Yeah. Excited.
I'm excited for Wednesday, dude. I'm excited for Wednesday. I've missed this. I've really missed, like, like, What If was good, The Bad Batch was good, but I've missed a live action show. Mm-hmm. I've missed it. Because we've not gotten one since Loki, and that was almost, you know, four and a half months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Was when Loki ended. We got Shang-Chi, we got Eternals again. We had What If going, but What If... It just hits different when it's A, animated, B, not following one storyline. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But that's... Oh, and last thing. My last prediction for next week is I think that Hawkeye survives.
It's just Hawkeye
deals. Well, because you remember how the episode ended, right? Was with Clint, like, walking through Kate's house and Jack with the sword. I think Clint's going to survive that.
Well, yeah, he should survive. That there's no reason why he wouldn't.
Well, he is...
You know, aside from the enormous
There are still two full episodes left after next week. And you guys know that he's going to make it home to his kids. He's going to make it home for Christmas.
There's no way the show's going to destroy our hearts.
No. No. Yvonne, when do you think we are going to see... Yelena? You think that's next week?
I think it's going to be a little closer to the last episode.
Yeah, dude... Yeah, we got three episodes left. So, there's a 1 in 3 chance we see Yelena next week. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still think that she's only in one episode.
She's probably only going to be in one.
Oh, my God. Like... Dude, like, everyone's just super excited for Yelena to show up, right? Mm-hmm. Watch her only be at the very end.
Just a post-credit scene.
Oh, dude! No. So, she shows up in episode 6, okay?
Okay.
And Natasha's dead. Clint is finally going to retire. Clint finally retires. We see Yelena, the new Black Widow, and Kate, the new Hawkeye, walk off together. Dude! Well, maybe not necessarily walk, like, they'll fly or something, but, dude, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. I love that so much.
I just want the characters to know each other.
I just want the characters to know each other. Yes. I have nothing else to say. We've been recording for about an hour and a half now.
I'm pretty sure we covered a lot of the bases.
A whole lot. There are some things that we did miss, but, you know, it's all good. It's all good. We just talked about things from the episode that we really liked. Mm-hmm. I really liked this episode, dude. I really enjoyed this week's episode.
I feel like this is what the series is going to feel like from now on.
I hope the episodes are longer. I hope they're longer, because this was, like, with you know, the previously on and the Marvel intro and the credits, this was only, like, 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty standard for, like, a Disney Plus series. You know, like, we've gotten that in The Mandalorian and in WandaVision, but, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier and then Loki were a lot longer. So I just want a longer series, you know? I just want a longer episode.
Yeah.
It left me wanting more, and I mean that in a good way and in a bad way.
No, I get what you mean.
Because it just felt like I just looked at the episode and it was over, you know? It never really felt like it got started.
Yeah, I get that.
But I still really enjoyed it. I still really am liking this show so far. I'm liking the show. It's still my least favorite of the four. Mm-hmm. But those other three are really great.
Yeah.
I think that this show could maybe pass Falcon and Winter Soldier. It's going to be really hard for it to top WandaVision. It's not going to pass Loki. I love that show so much. Well, actually, Esquire magazine put out their top 10 TV shows of the year. Number one was WandaVision.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I love that show. WandaVision was so freaking good. Mm-hmm. I might go back and rewatch WandaVision and listen to our podcast after. Listen to all our Mephisto theories. Dude,
Alex insisting that Mephisto's going to be in it.
Insisting it's Mephisto. He's insisting that it's Mephisto, so. Yeah, all right, guys, that's going to do it. We're going to be back next Wednesday. I've got a sad announcement, actually, guys. I'm moving our Hit Monkey Season 1 review to January. It's going to be here's the good news. As if there was any debate, another Marvel podcast Season 3 is confirmed. Starts in January. Starts in January. Yeah, we've heard, we've officially been renewed for a third season. I'm just kidding. I renewed us for a third season because I love this podcast so much, guys. I love doing it every single week. So, the holidays are so incredibly busy. We got a lot going on both podcasts right now. Got finals coming up. So it's just, I'm not going to be able to do Hit Monkey. I don't even know if I'll be able to even watch the rest of Hit Monkey until after Christmas. But that being said, I did really enjoy the first episode, and our review of episode one is out right now. It's been out for a couple weeks. So there's that. But we will be reviewing Hit Monkey in the new year. But unless there is a trailer for Moon Knight or She-Hulk, because I don't think there would be anything else there would be a trailer for right now, then we will return next Wednesday with the next podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, yeah, go follow us on Twitter. Actually, don't. Or you can, but we're not going to be active for the next, like, 2 weeks. Doubled it on accent there. We're not going to be active for the next 2 weeks, but the Twitter is at another Marvel P1. Again, if you are a Star Wars fan, check out Tusken Radio with new episodes streaming every single Friday, especially with the Book of Boba Fett 4 weeks away. From today, we're 4 weeks away, Yvonne. I cannot wait. So, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch.
And I'm Yvonne Sila.
I love Imagine Dragons.